Hello, good evening. Welcome to Wednesday night right here on the Victory Channel. I want to welcome all of you watching us on Dish Network Channel 265, plus all of you that are watching us on Roku, Apple TV, listening on the radio. So grateful that you are there. We are live tonight. I am very, very excited about this. You requested this program. Now, tonight, here's the deal. If you're watching on Facebook, all you got to do is type in your questions or comment. All the information is right there on the bottom of the screen. And I have it right here, an iPad. And we'll interact. We want you to talk with us. If you're watching another way, you can ask home group at govictory.com. And I am about to choke, and I don't know why. We are live. 682-302-1301. Okay, you requested this. We know a lot about healing. We're talking about a topic live tonight with experts. But what about healing of your your mind, your psyche, your emotions? And why is that taboo to talk about in the Christian world? Some say all of those kind of things are demonic. Is that true? Is it organic? Is it hereditary? Well, we're going to discuss it further tonight, all in the spirit of faith. Let me introduce the panel. First of all, my lovely wife, Michelle, is with us. Dr. Heather Canino. I'm all choked up about this.
You're so excited.
Dr. Heather Canino is with us. Dr. Tony Irby is with a lot of doctors. Doctor. And Dr. Delwyn Williams with us. Of course, let's go around and start. You are an MD.
Yes,
and
sir.
A psychiatrist. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a psychiatrist. I trained at Southwestern Medical School here in Dallas. And I've been in practice for about 30 years. I work at a county psychiatric facility. We see people. I work in the emergency department, so we see all types of patients with lots of stressful situations. But I enjoy it. It's my calling, and we get to help a lot of people, so it's really exciting.
Well, I'm so glad that you're with us, and I believe you're going to help a lot of people this evening.
Amen.
Dr. Tony Irby, if you've watched Eagle Mountain Church at all,
they only think I sing.
He knows everything.
And if I get choked up again, just throw in a Victory of Jesus or something. Do a song for it.
I'm Dr. Tony Irby, and I'm actually licensed as a counselor. I've been licensed since 1980, so it's been a little while now. And I have a PhD in psychology and also one in education. And my calling really is to kind of a blend of education and psychology. But the challenge that I had was there were some things in the world of psychology that I had some rubs with. And so I realized, you know what, these same skills, this same heart can be really a blessing to the body of Christ, because most all of those things have some sort of spiritual root.
Right.
And the more I started delving in that side of it, I was like, this is it. I like this.
Yeah.
So for the ministry, of course, I'm the dean of the Bible college, but everybody's people, between the Bible school students, between the church, and even the employees, I kind of act as the EAP rep.
Now, something that's very interesting that we have in common, I was, for full disclosure, I was a person at the federal building in Oklahoma City. What was that,
1995? April 19th.
That's exactly right, at 9:02.
Uh-huh.
I was one of the workers trying to rescue. And you were there counseling.
I
don't
counseling.
Remember meeting you. Did you see me?
But I was one of the first ones down. I don't know if I saw you.
I was down there.
But my job was talking to the family members and having to tell them that either one of their loved ones, you know, was killed in the bombing, and providing that crisis support to them.
Well, thank you for your service in that. Dr. Canino, tell us about you.
I am a naturopathic doctor.
Okay.
And
what's that? Tell me
that deals with more the root. I like to get to the root of the issue. Is it a nutritional deficiency that they're going through versus band-aiding the issue? I like to get to the root of it and see, is it nutritional? Is it something that can be fixed with simple nutrition? Or is it a mineral deficiency, enzyme deficiency? So a lot of what we have in mental health going on, could it be a simple deficiency that's so easy to fix. So I deal more with on the natural level, nutrition.
Okay. So now, listen, if you have questions, I want you to get those to us. Text them to 682-302-1301. It's so much better when you're not choking. 682-302-1301 or ask home group at govictory.com. Or if you're on Facebook or however, just text or just type it right there directly and we will have it. Okay. It does seem, I'm a pastor, been a pastor, Michelle, you've been senior pastor. It does seem to be taboo or a lack of faith to go in for counseling or what is the stigma that the body of Christ has concerning mental health or just the need for counseling? And home group, here's the rules. There are no rules.
No.
So jump in. If you if you've got something you want to add to something somebody says, please just jump on in. Anybody?
They get embarrassed that they should have a handle on this, that they should know how to pray and as a Christian.
More so than somebody who's not a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think that stigma has always been there. And it's only until recently that that stigma is being lifted.
Yeah.
And that's more in the secular world. But I agree. I think in the Christian world, there's a point of view that it's
kind of you should have it all together, really.
Right. Right.
As a believer, you should have it all together. If you don't have it all together, then you're not a really good Christian.
Or a good representative
of Jesus. So if I hide it, maybe no one will know.
Right.
So does that do harm if I hide whatever it is I'm hiding?
Yeah, you're suppressing those feelings, those emotions. Mm-hmm. You're not getting it fixed.
And the thing is like anything else that's not dealt with, even on the physical side, if it festers, it'll grow and become a bigger problem. So what could have been, you know, the old adage is true, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Right.
You know, so if you don't, if it was a health thing and now it's causing, let's just say depression symptoms, that now depression has gotten full blown, now they're going to see the psychiatrist.
Is depression a lack of faith or what is depression?
Well, depression, you know, basically is a biochemical change in the brain because of neurohormones that are imbalanced. And so that, you know, that's a big part of what's going on. Now, the causes of depression are multifactorial. There's so many environmental issues. There's in terms of how people grow up, types of abuse maybe they've gone through, circumstantial issues. So there's lots of different problems that can lead to that depression. But it manifests physically in the brain as a biochemical imbalance that can be treated with medications, but also can be treated with psychotherapy or therapy.
Okay, so let me stop you. Let me ask you this, because in my terminology, you know, we always say on this program, the advice that we give, we base it in the spirit of faith on the word, we're not professionals. Okay, they are. Okay, so this is a little different for me tonight. We might not say much,
right.
but
I'm the only doctor not on this seat.
But here's the funny thing: in our church, you did a lot of the counseling
because on the spiritual side.
Honest guys, I got fidgety. Man. I'm like, oh Camille, come on. Do you love him? Do you love her? Then get over it. Let's go. You know, admit it, repent it, forget it. Let's go. You know, and that doesn't work. But
to piggyback on what Dr. Williams said, one of the things that he has that perspective, and I agree with that. That is a manifestation and how it looks in terms of the brain side of that. But I think really that, first of all, 25% of all Americans would meet the diagnosis as being depressed.
Really?
Wow.
That's alarming.
Right.
That's very
really
alarming.
That many?
25%.
Okay, so how many? Dr.
So you know they're going to somebody's church, right? Okay.
Well, you would think.
Some of those, 25%.
And they're going forward for prayer most of the time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the statistics on mental health? One in or two in or three in, however many? What are we talking about?
So one in four at any given time? Between one and four and five. And that's dynamic because, you know, people cycle in and out of some of these symptoms.
That's true.
You know, you see, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you can't have depression or anxiety disorders and the issues that you're having to struggle with.
Right.
I say this is just me, okay, in my experience, and I've had a little bit now, is that at some point, depression is rooted in fear.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
fear of I've lost something, fear I'm going to lose something, fear I can't have something. And so I'm sad.
Is that what depression is? Just sadness?
It can be more than that, but I'm saying it is at some point the root of it is fear.
So when does depression...
As is anxiety.
When does depression need medication? When it becomes disabilitating? Is it...
Yeah, if you can't function, I mean, the Bible talks about, Paul wrote about renewing your thinking.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
If you can't think, you can't renew your thinking. And so if you're at a point where you're incapacitated, you have such psychomotor retardation, you know, where you're...
That's a big word.
Yeah, well, it basically means that because of the psychiatric illness that your entire physiological process has slowed down to a point where you can't function anymore.
Can't work.
Then you need to be open to treatment at that point, because otherwise you can't do the work that the Bible, that Jesus told us to do so that we can heal.
Or and have healthy relationships too. Mm-hmm.
So. Okay, so what's the difference then? Now, I'm going to use words like, I don't know what the right terminology is today, so if I trigger anybody, I apologize. It's not... There's organic, that means things physically wrong with me, and then psychotic, is psychotic the right word or not? Psychiatric?
Yeah, we basically say behavioral health issues okay. at this point, which is a broad umbrella term that
which includes... Include, though.
Okay, so if there's a physical injury to your brain,
yes,
that's different than...
Well, it is, but it isn't. I mean, because the brain is a physical organ.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's housed in our physical body, mm-hmm. and it can have biochemical changes caused by trauma, but it could be caused by environmental issues. It could be caused by genetics.
There's heredity, lots of things.
Lots of many, many factors, some of which we're not real sure about. Mm-hmm. And there's not a hard and fast line between a physical problem, quote unquote, and a behavioral problem. It really is all the same, but we tend to look in medicine at things at illnesses as physical versus behavioral.
Well, but I think too, we got to get to the bottom line of why are you depressed? So we need to look at the emotions, but we also need to look at physically what's going on. Is there a deficiency? Because deficiencies cause a lot of this. Thyroid deficiencies, a B12 deficiency can cause it. Mm-hmm. Mineral deficiencies can cause it. So if we really dig deep and we get to the what really is causing these issues, it's usually an easy fix. You can fix it with your foods. You can fix it with supplementation. But then I do think there's always an emotion attached to that, whether it's fear. For instance, asthma. I did not realize this. My dad had asthma. Well, I knew that it was a sugar. You're not processing your sugars, but the emotion attached to it is fear. Well, we never would have thought he had any fear, but he got a brain injury. Mm-hmm. And at some point, the only thing he could say is, I'm scared. Well, I never knew my dad to be afraid of anything.
Is it tough to diagnose a brain deal? I mean, is it really...
It depends.
There's no baseline that you can...
Well, you know, sometimes it shows...
You walk with a limp. It's not like your head hurts.
Right. Well, you mean a brain chemical imbalance.
We
don't have...
How to figure out what's causing this.
We don't have real tests for that at this point. I mean, I think we're going to get there because of the genetic information that we've developed recently, but we don't have that yet. So it's not a hard... We have to diagnose based on empirical knowledge from seeing patients from over the decades.
Gotcha.
And we see categorize
clusters of symptoms that can be categorized.
So we see this commonality is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay. I want you to get your questions and listen, the screen is filling up. I'm going to get to them right now. 682-302-1301 if you'd like to text them. AskHomeGroup@govictory.com or type it in right here on Facebook. All right. You ready? Here we go. Judy, thank you for being part of this tonight. Can people who have not been in the military have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder?
I believe
so. Oh, yeah. Depending on, sometimes people have been trauma, rape victims and those that have been abused in a certain fashion or tortured and that kind of thing can develop symptoms that clustered would would indicate.
So you don't have to be in the military.
Not to be. No, no. That's just where it's kind of become popular.
So what do you look for, doctor, when you see somebody that you think is post-traumatic stress disorder?
Dr. Tony was really hitting on that earlier when you talked about the Oklahoma City incident, because a lot of folks who came out of that did have PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And basically,
they talked to me if I had it or not. Remember that?
You did, yeah.
I did?
Yeah.
From things that he saw.
Not just those that experienced it, sometimes who worked so closely involved into it developed symptoms mirror that.
So there's extreme anxiety with that. There's flashbacks that happen sometimes. There's a fear of being put back into that situation, nightmares. All these can be symptoms of PTSD.
Even today. So even when the time of year.
Well, welcome to my session.
Okay, go ahead. This is my doctorate part. Now, is that physiologically he will have a response and not know what it is until we put the clues together. Mm-hmm. And so we'll know, why are you fidgety today? Why are you angry? He seemed angry. It's not anger. It's just he can't put his finger on it until we dial back down and go, what date? What's today?
Yeah.
And it is amazing strong.
It happened a few years back, and I was just having a really rotten day. Yeah. And we realized it was April
19th.
And I never put it together. Mm. I didn't know what day it was.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, so we don't we do things like we don't watch things. We've not gone back to the site.
Yeah, I haven't gone back there. There's things. Is that a sign that?
Not a sign. It might be healthy for you. You know,
protective mechanism kicking in.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk about it. You know, things like that with the.
But I did talk about it, and I think the thing that helped me, besides the Word of God and prayer and believing and confessing the Word over myself. I did talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe is that, I'm not diagnosing here, but is it help if somebody would talk about it with a loved one that they trust? And
yeah.
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a cure for PTSD?
Yeah. You know, the veterans groups, the Veterans Administration has really come up with a lot of treatments for PTSD that are highly effective for the veterans who are coming out at this point. And so they've got a lot of unique treatments that are very effective right now.
Which is what you didn't have years
ago. Right.
And you see a lot of those on the streets and homeless and that. A lot of them were
not
really
knowing how to
deal with that.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of light that's come, don't you think, in this area where, and sometimes I think it's too far. It's in our commercials. It's in everything you see
people
on TV.
People capitalizing on
it,
too.
Yes, and they're capitalizing. So everybody thinks they have this.
Right. Well, I don't want that label on me.
Well, no, not just PTSD, but anything. Anxiety, you talked about earlier. I work with a lot of young people, and that is the number one thing that they associate with.
You hear a lot about that.
Exactly. So they associate with it now.
Yeah.
Well, they're given a medication. It's kind of, not to be mean, but it is thrown at them.
Yeah.
And some want it. That's one way some children are able to get on a prescription. So then they're able to.
I do want to talk about children because we've got several questions here talking about, I just lost it. What's diagnosed so much with children today?
ADHD and things like that.
ADHD, but the other one was autism.
Autism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we've got a lot of questions, and we will get to those that you're asking concerning this. Can I control subconscious issues, this is a text, with something like a mental detox? What's a mental detox? I don't get that.
I know my mental detox would be. My mental detox would be the Word of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
About a specific situation. I'm having challenges with fear or anxiety. Mm. Then I'm looking at scriptures along those lines, and those I'm confessing, I'm getting accountability person. They hear me talking the opposite to say, hey, this is what you're talking now. You need to be
accountable.
That's how I would detox.
Yeah.
And turning it over to the Lord, placing it at his feet.
How do I do that?
It's just something.
How do you do it physically?
Well, if I was going to place this.
No, I'm just saying if you have a physical illness or you need healing. what would you do? You'd get scriptures along those lines.
You dig in,
maybe get somebody to pray with you, to agree with you. You'd be confessing the word in that area. You do the same thing. I think we make it a little more difficult, maybe because of what you said. It's not something you can see, you know, like a broken arm.
Is that what makes it kind of mysterious?
I think so. But, you know, the bottom line is that to me, and to add to what you're saying, you have to understand to seek first the kingdom of God. And to me, that means figuring out exactly who you are in Christ. You're a child of the living God. You've got his yoke-destroying, burden-removing power, and you're redeemed from the curse of the law, and all these things that righteousness entails. Right. Because once you figure out who you really are and the power that is inside of you, then you can deal with some of the symptoms that you're experiencing. It doesn't mean you won't need medications. I mean, perhaps you do, and I don't believe in necessarily people being on medications for the rest of their lives or anything like that. Temporarily, while they're able to
think more clearly,
they may need the medication.
So this goes to George's question. He says, are we diagnosing spiritual problems or just psychological, biological? So what's the difference? And it goes to what percentage of depression can be attributed to demonic attack? Mm. So let's talk about that for a minute. What's the spiritual aspect of this?
I believe that spiritually, you know, in terms of depression, I mean, it's all going to be demonic. I mean, it's all going to be coming from a demonic
source.
So can you tell in counseling, and I'm asking them because primarily yours is nutrition and stuff. Can you tell when you're counseling somebody and when you're in the emergency room or wherever, this is a spirit?
I would say it can be a spirit, but I'd like to think of it in terms of a stronghold. I see more strongholds.
Tell me what the difference is then.
To me, when you think demonic, you think something that's possessed somebody. I see mostly Christian people who I see, and I don't see them as being possessed. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I do see them as being oppressed. Spiritually oppressed. Mm-hmm. And I do see as stronghold. What is a stronghold then? It's a hole that's gotten strong. Again, going back to why don't you just come in to the church and learn these things? Why don't you go to groups? Why don't you do these things on a preventive side or the early intervention side before a hole becomes a strong hole? Because then it can require a lot of things. It can require not just counseling. It might require medication. It might require nutrition evaluation. Right. It might require, now we have a marriage problem. You know what I mean? So all these things are connected. Why? Because we are a spirit.
Yeah.
Amen.
We have a soul and we live in a body. Mm-hmm. And so if you're having a problem in your soulical area, you can believe it's going to be affecting your the physical, which is this piece here. You know, if I'm depressed, maybe I'm not eating. That's causing a problem. I'm overeating.
Every one of these things, then, is what you're saying is not demonic in its origin. Well, its origin.
It's the devil. He's after us. I can say that.
It's a spiritual attack, one way or the other. I mean, whether it's possession or oppression, it is a spiritual attack.
Right. Yes.
And so I think as Christians, that helps us because we know the real origin and the real core of the problem.
The real enemy.
Right. Because that way we're not just treating symptoms.
Right.
We're treating the core issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, here's one. Linda writes in to this line. There's a minister on television that says that psychological therapists have no place in a Christian's life. Jesus is the only answer to our problems. What do you think?
I disagree. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because I'm one. Let me just say this. I believe I'm spiritually, my counseling is completely spiritual based, yet I'm psychologically informed. And I think, and I should say even not just psychologically informed, but informed holistically in terms of, I know something about the physical side. I know a little bit about the health side. Mm-hmm. So certainly psychologically informed. It's not rooted in psychology. Yeah. It is distinctly spiritual.
Right.
But it's important to me. The Bible tells us that you can learn some things. You should know some things. It says don't lean on that.
Is it a lack of faith to not admit that you have problems or to say I've got problems? Is that a lack of faith? Am I?
No, I don't.
Am I not walking in faith if I?
Is it a lack of faith?
Yeah.
It may be denial.
I think. Yeah. You know. Or not wanting to admit that I have a problem. I don't see it as a necessarily. I can say it's a lack of faith in that I don't think that I would be accepted, or I don't think I would be received, or I don't think I get the. Often, I don't think I can get the help from the church.
Because judgment comes along with that.
Because then now they're going to say, oh, you're flawed.
There's something wrong
you're
with
flawed.
You.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to follow up if
you
could.
Go.
Dr. Irby, you made a great point about the type of psychotherapist that you are, and you're superior in that you,
thank you.
Base everything, not just because I know you and I know what you do, but because you base what you do on the Word of God.
That's right.
And there's a lot of, in order to kind of get along with what that other pastor said, there are a lot of people out there who may use the traditional schools of therapy that don't include the spiritual component.
More Freudian based and all those kinds of things.
Right, which means that they're missing out on a third of that tripart being of the spiritual part.
And they're approaching it from a humanistic.
Right.
So what I want to do is I want to play a clip. We were talking about that just now about prayer. And it's from a program. Matter of fact, she's lunchtime right here Wednesdays. And it's clip 12, guys. It's Nicole Crank. And so we like to joke around. Lunch with Nicole, dinner with home group. And she talks about a problem not worth praying about is a problem that's not worth worrying about. And regardless of the problem, talking and praying with God is what's important. We have a lot of your comments. So many of you are thanking us for touching on this tonight, and I thank you. We'll be back. Watch this, Nicole. We'll be right back.
Go ahead, if you're a note taker, write this down. When I go to bed at night, I will talk to God about my day. A problem worth worrying about is a problem worth praying about. A problem not worth praying about is a problem not worth worrying about. So why is it that we would worry about something and not pray about it? So let's start a little habit. Go ahead and climb in bed, go ahead and turn the lights off, and then just go ahead and start talking to Him before you go to bed.
The conditions before you go to bed at night, spiritually, and the first thing when you wake up, good morning, Holy Spirit. Hey, welcome back to your home group. And we are talking about mental health. Why does that seem to be taboo in the body of Christ? We're answering your questions and your comments. I've got a stellar group of people with us tonight, and we're going to do our best to get to as many as we can in the time that we have remaining. They're going to, from time to time, put the information on the bottom of the screen. There it is right there. Ask and you shall receive, and there it is. How you can get a hold of us, 682-302-1301. If you want to text it in, ask homegroup at govictory.com. Email, if you're on Facebook Live with us, welcome. You can just type it in directly, and then we will read them as we get them here. Here we go. Let me see a few of these. There was one. Doctors, these are real people with real issues. And so every now and then we'll get some that'll bring a tear to your eye on this set. And we've never shied away from any of them. Here's a text, and we're not using your name. We're not going to. I was abused as a child and had difficulty. However, while serving at church, there was a time they dealt with shame, and God healed me of many mental difficulties and showed me there's no difference, that He uses medical doctors as well as manifested instant healing. There's no shame to get the help you need. I thank God for men and women of faith who are called to serve in this capacity. Thank you for serving and for doing this tonight. But why is it so hard for me to fight depression? So now we have some history.
Well, I'll answer that. But first of all, let's say, whatever church you go to, yippee. The church, you got your answer in the church.
That's
We have the answers. Praise I don't care God. What anybody else says. The church, the world, all these other professions should be coming to us for the answer.
Amen.
Because we have them as a church. So she got her answer there. Okay. But it's like anything else. Do you think, and this does go back to the devil, you can get healed from something physical, or you can get over something in terms of that you can't not see in your soul. And so I got over this depression, let's just say, or whatever the challenge was that she was having. But do you think the devil's going to just leave you alone?
That's right.
He's not going to come back to you, just like when you got over that physical illness and uh-oh, I'm feeling that symptom again. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, this is starting to bother me again. The same would be true solically. Mm-hmm. You know, the devil's going to say, hey, you're not really over that depression. Hey, you just had a sad thought. Mm-hmm. What about this? Mm-hmm. So that's, then you just get back on the word. You fight the good fight of faith. You cast down that imagination that's exalting itself.
You keep standing.
You
right?
keep standing.
I'd like to follow up on that.
You're great. Yes, sir.
This is something I see quite often. We'll treat patients with medications and they'll get better for a while. They're doing the exercise, they're eating the right foods, but then they'll go back and perhaps they need to have a change of medications over and over again. What I found beyond the medications, beyond the treatment, the therapy, a lot of times we leave some things left undone. Mm. And one of the main things is unforgiveness.
Yeah.
That is the biggest problem that I see with people with chronic illnesses in the behavioral health arena. And a lot of times we may or may not forgive that person or those people from the past, but we may unforgive them along the way. And there's three main areas of forgiveness that I've found. Forgiving those other people, mm-hmm. forgiving yourself.
Amen.
Even though you didn't necessarily do anything, you've been brainwashed by that type of abuse
right.
into believing that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy, all those kind of negative things. In addition, and this is something that's really taboo, we don't talk about unforgiveness towards God. Because a lot of times people wonder, why was this allowed to happen? Not that God made it happen, of course.
Right.
But why did he allow it to happen?
Particularly around death, loss of a loved one or something like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And God took my child or my, you know.
Yes. And so we have to sometimes forgive God even though he didn't do anything.
Right.
Because emotions emotions don't make sense. They're not rational.
Right.
They just are. Emotions come. And God knows that. He put that in us.
Right.
But we still have to rationally decide to forgive him even though he wasn't the problem.
That's good. It is a three. You do have to forgive yourself. And a lot of people have not forgiven themselves.
Correct.
I go through that where
That's
I
a
do
big one. Mm-hmm.
At nighttime you take communion and you think, okay, what do I need to, who do I need to forgive? And one time the Lord said, how about yourself? So that's very good. It is threefold and forgiving because you think, God, why did you allow this to happen? And as a Christian, you'd probably go, well, we're not going to go there because when we get to heaven, we'll ask, so what happened here?
Right, we bury it.
But we bury it, mm-hmm. but it is good to get that out. Just do it. Just get it done.
Yeah.
Every night, or when those thoughts come up, it's real easy just to do it now and ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
I like what Brother Copeland says. I forgive everybody of everything.
Yeah. All right. Here's a text, another anonymous one for us. My daughter is sad a lot and deals with migraines, pain in her body, and isn't really following the Lord. We've been to healing service and she doesn't seem to really listen to me. Is there anything that would help? Counseling hasn't been a help. Mm. I know that's hard to try to.
Yeah, because what has she had tests to find out what's going on, why the headaches are coming? Is she on a medication for it? We don't have a lot of information.
Yeah, that's a tough
one. You don't have enough.
Now, I can tell you, you know, from what I've experienced, most physical problems are manifested because of psychological stuff that hasn't been dealt with.
Yeah.
And I've experienced migraines.
Is it stuff you're not aware of?
Sometimes.
Consciously?
Sometimes. Can be, and sometimes you know, but refuse to deal with it.
Stress.
And migraine headaches is
one of
on that list.
Yeah.
I mean, asthma, migraine headaches, ulcers.
I want to go back to that. Migraine headaches is on the top of the list of things you haven't dealt with.
It can be a manifestation of stress, of things that have not been dealt with inside.
Isn't That's amazing.
That? Yeah, a lot of physical illnesses manifest because of what's going on with psychological
blood pressure
challenges and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Is it a trauma then? Or go ahead.
But my question is a lot of these things are attributed to being hereditary. So my mom had this,
right.
I have this.
Right.
And it's almost as if they take it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
now, some of that is a learned experience.
Right.
Right.
It's not genetic necessarily. Because, I mean, especially with anxiety disorders, I see this all the time, that, you know, my mom worried a lot and I worry a lot because, that's what I saw. It was modeled.
That was your normal.
Me. And you know what, even that's why there's a difference between spiritual knowledge in this area and religious. Because religion would say, you should worry. You know, any mother should be worried about her child, you know, and you're sorry if you don't. Mm-hmm. Well, that's That's religion.
Right, right.
But that's not fixing the problem. That's making the problem worse. And that's actually sanctioning worry, and which is what the Bible told us not to do.
Right.
Yeah. And you're confessing it, so that's what you're
you
bringing on.
You receive it.
Yeah,
so when
you're taking
and
it
you're
on.
Receiving it in the name of church or religion.
Yeah.
Okay, Amber, here's yours. Amber says, would love to hear some specific ways to target postpartum anxiety and fear. Fear is fear, but the enemy often tries that to bring that right back on me. How do you target postpartum anxiety?
You know, a lot.
First of all, what is postpartum anxiety?
It's a chemical.
In case people don't know.
Yeah, I mean, after, you know, a woman has delivered a baby.
So that's postpartum.
Postpartum. You're going to have a sudden drop in hormone levels that, you know, cause a different way or a different perspective of seeing things. I mean, you can't.
Many times it's depression.
Most times it is depression.
Well, this, she says, anxiety.
The anxiity and depression tend to travel together a lot of times.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's the difference then between depression and anxiety?
Well, anxiety is more that anxious feeling, that nervousness that people
that would look
have.
More fearful, more like fear.
Right.
But then
right.
you said that earlier.
Depression would look more like sadness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. It's like it's being overwhelmed mm-hmm. by the situation.
It's getting the help that you need, though. It's seeking treatment, and it's on two levels, whether it's speaking with somebody, which I highly recommend, and figuring out how do you balance those hormones, because they do need to be balanced.
Right.
And some people deal with it, and some
hormonal
people don't.
Hormonal therapy type of thing.
They would need to see a physician.
They need to see a doctor.
To make sure that, you know, that's being followed up
Absolutely.
On.
And we're not telling anybody not to take medication.
No.
Not to see a doctor. It's not a lack of faith to not see a doctor.
That's a very good example of, though, how the physical, this having childbirth, has affected the soul or affected the emotion.
That is a
That's
good,
a good example
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then you've got other psychological issues. I don't know if she's like a first-time mom, but a lot of times women feel inadequate, you know, about taking care of this baby. Mm-hmm. That's a part
and
of the
will I be able to? Mm-hmm. I've never done
And a lot before. Of times with that, you can't. And you may feel guilty that you cannot do what you know as instinctively you should be doing. But it's something that is a chemical imbalance with the hormones, and it can be fixed. So no condemnation.
All right, here's another one. I wake up with marks on my body. When I pray, they go away. I feel it's a demonic attack. I go to church, but this has been going on for years.
Dr. Irby.
I wake up with marks on my
body? Marks on their body. They pray, they go away.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, psychological issues can manifest in a lot of physical ways that, some of which are very unusual. Now, again, she needs to see a physician about this and get that evaluated. But it's not unusual for people to have allergic type reactions, like having
almost like a rash. Almost like a rash.
Yeah.
That would be more like comparable to
right.
the whips or something.
Because of stress. I've seen that happen numerous times. And so I'm not saying that's what's going on in this case. That needs to be evaluated, but that could be a manifestation.
So here's a text. I've been diagnosed with PTSD, diagnosed with depression and anxiety. I've been doing my own research, and part of the depression and anxiety was B vitamin and D vitamin deficiency and magnesium. After replacing those deficiencies and immersing myself in God's Word, focusing on my covenant I have with God, I've noticed most of the symptoms have left. When fear shows up, I declare the word.
Mm. Amen.
That's it. That's the textbook, Clay.
It is.
You got it, girl.
It's I like everything that. I have in my notes.
Like
she
that.
Hit on all of them, yeah. or yeah. he hit on all of them.
She's confessing the word. She's
that's right.
dealing with those behavioral and the fears and emotions. Mm-hmm. Yet she realized that there's a nutritional piece here and a health piece that needs to be dealt
with. So she's actively... That helps, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When somebody's, if they can go to you for counseling and they don't do a blessed thing about anything you say to do, if they go to you for diagnosis and medication and they don't take their meds, they're not actively participants in their healing, are they?
Correct.
Comes in back their well-being. Like everything else, it's still an act of your will. You got to be willing to be
That's
willing.
Right.
You know, a big part of treating depression also is omega-3s, you know, because we don't eat as much fish here as the countries like Japan, where the depression rate is a lot lower. And so omega-3s make a big difference.
And life expectancy. Huge. People live a lot longer,
true
too.
That. That's true. Uh-huh. And there's also vitamin D, which is very important because sometimes, especially this time of year, people aren't getting enough
right.
sunlight. And so those are important with depression.
It's very important.
Well, even in with children, immunity. Now that they don't play like they used to play outside.
That's true. They're inside on the computers.
They're gaming. They're not getting themselves out there. So some of these symptoms could be rising up in a lot of our kids that we didn't see before.
It's amazing to see what simple deficiencies can cause.
Oh yeah.
From schizophrenia to mild depressions to so much. And it's so simple to fix. The Bs are easy to fix.
So we've got this question. Is this, there's a epidemic of homelessness in America today, especially, and we've got it here in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro, not like in California where we pastor. And I remember walking down the street and people barking at you and all kinds of crazy things. You'd look at them and go, okay, what's that? Is it mental? Is it mental health?
Mental illness, lack of mental health. And I think, and you can help me with this one, but I think that, you know, back in the day, you used to have a lot of state hospitals and a lot of the people you see on the street would have been in a state hospital 20, 30 years ago, you know. And because of that whole, the wave to deinstitutionalize, you know, well, that's a good thing, except for the lack of services once they've been deinstitutionalized aren't there, so I can't get this help, I don't have this help, I can't qualify this, I don't have insurance for this, and next thing you know, I'm on the streets, you know, and I'm mentally ill, not a bad person, just a person that needs
But they're not help. Getting that kind of
they're
help.
They're not getting the help and treatment.
They submit themselves then to different drug abuse or different types
that becomes the medication to I can't get the legitimate medication, so I go to street drugs or alcohol to medicate myself.
So that's what they're
hiding their feelings. That's
so we've had a lot of PTSD questions, but now I'm seeing some about children. A lot of children being diagnosed with autism. What's the rate? What would help us with autism?
Well, autism is...
Is it a new name for something we used to call something else?
Yeah. It was pervasive developmental disorders and all kinds of things like that. It's kind of went to a spectrum of those early childhood developmental delays. Mm-hmm. And so it's a spectrum that we just call autism now. From those with mild to those that are more severe.
Is ADHD, is that autism?
No. But this is more having to do with inability to socialize appropriately. In terms of autism. Mm. And, you know, a big challenge with that for me is that you got so many kids, as you mentioned, are on video games, they're brought up on
social media,
cell phones and that sort of thing. And it's hard for, I have found that a lot of kids don't socialize well anyway because of those social media kind of things.
I would agree. Yeah. And things, you know, like my son plays video games and the things that I hear those children saying, I thought they would not be saying that in person on a playground.
Let me jump in because this goes right to Javon. Javon's question is, my generation's constantly being consumed with social media. What have you noticed in correlation with young adults ages 17, 29 to their mental ability to be vulnerable and talk out their problems? Also, what encouragement would you offer my age group in order to regaining our self-esteem and confidence? Because they are constantly on their phone.
Interact.
Mm-hmm. With humans.
Interact with people. I have 5,000 friends. They're all on Facebook or somewhere. I'm like, when have you talked to somebody today? You know, right. But you'll walk down right past people, and now you see a lot of young people. In our day, we kind of like look at people and say hello. People see you, and the younger
because
people won't do that.
Because they do say things.
They'll
that
do that. I don't want to have to
say.
Speak.
That's right.
Yeah.
To your point, there is a language, and I've seen a desensitivity to. Violence, because you get free lives, you know, when you shoot that guy. You just keep...
Right.
Not just violence, but death itself.
Right.
Yeah,
there's
desensitized.
Or they don't appreciate or they don't value life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's disrespect. We were not allowed to talk to an adult the way I hear some children talking. Even to each other, we were always taught to respect and love one another. And if we keep those values, even with our children, then they'll know how to speak to other people. But we have parents, and I'm one. I'm a single mom, and I work. And so he's allowed on the video games probably more than I would like. And so it goes back to the family. Are they sitting down to dinners? Are they having conversations? Are they talking things out with their children at that dinner table? Or are they just on social media and on their phone?
And are they using the church? The church, we have the answer. Is little Johnny coming to church? Is he in children's church? Is he in the children's choir? Is he playing outside with the group?
This one goes to chant.
This one goes to church. Mm-hmm. And I know this lady. She goes to Eagle Mountain. And so I won't say your name, but I'll read your question. You know it's you. She says, I have smiling depression. I've never heard of it. But maybe that's a self-diagnosis here. It says, I'm very visible at church, and people will tell me that I'm an inspiration to them. When greeted and asked how I'm doing, I always answer blessed and highly favored, but I feel guilty because I don't want to disappoint them because that's not really the way I feel.
Goes back to what you said, Michelle, the whole stigma of I'll be judged if I be transparent and say I'm really having a problem.
Mm-hmm. But see, if she could do that with somebody here at church, I know our members would grab her and pray for her.
She can.
But she's trying to keep her confession straight, too. So it goes back to your keeping your confession.
And it's not church. Church has become, in a lot of ways, just a come and go. The interaction that we're talking about, even with kids, is, are we doing that? Mm. Are the parents doing it? Do we have friendships?
Are we modeling it, huh?
Are we modeling that?
That's true.
You know,
that is
because
true.
Trust is a big deal, and earning that trust and being vulnerable is a very precious thing. For me, myself, I've been a guarded person a lot of my life because I'm not going to be vulnerable and give you something that is so sacred to me and you not treat it as sacred as I do. Yeah. And we don't do that with one another.
Mm-hmm. Take the risk. There are people here who would love you, accept you for who you are, that would get in faith with you, would help get you through whatever the situation is.
And I know your name. So come up to me, all right? I know who you are.
Well, and with these things, it's not a faith. It's not a confession. It's more of a fact. Right now, she's struggling. It's not a permanent thing, but right now she may be struggling. And so I think we get confused with, is it a confession? Is it an act of faith versus fact?
Well, even Moses needed Aaron. Right. And her. So
who hadn't needed help? That's what the church is.
He needed help. Exactly.
That's why we're there, right?
That's why we're there.
We need to hold each other up.
My dad died over a year and a half ago. I still can't think much about it, or I, quote, lose it. So I don't think much about it. If I had confidence in where he is now, I would be different. So am I depressed? So they obviously don't know if their father is in heaven or is that person depressed because they lose it. It's a year and a half.
I don't know. I don't know if I would say they're depressed. I would just say they're allowing a spirit of grief to take
linger.
Over.
To
now,
leave.
Grief's not bad in its place.
Bible says there's a time for everything.
But you can't let that thing take
when
hold
that
of
festers
you.
And that becomes grief is a spirit that becomes takes over. Then you are sorrowing. You are in grief, and that's not faith.
Mm-hmm. Especially over something that you have no control over.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I mean,
there you go.
We don't have control over other people and their decisions.
That's right.
And, you know, that's one of those things I think you do have to turn over to God and say, Father, you know, I hope that things turn out the way I'd like for my dad, but, you know, I'm going to leave it with you because I can't do a thing about it. And there's lots of things in life like that for us. We all have things that we can't fix.
That's right.
And that's okay. We have to make it okay that God has control of that situation.
The word says the secret things belong to the Lord. So whether he was saved or if he was saved, you're on the victory side of that. So knowing that we're eternal beings, I mean, that is something to rejoice over. But on the other hand, if you don't know the salvation end of that, I always give it to God that way. The secret things belong to you. The heart issue is God's, and just trust him in it.
Yes.
Trust the Lord in it,
amen.
And he'll take that for you.
And my thought is, but you're still here. God
amen.
Has a plan
so
for
now
you.
Don't. Yeah, don't.
What about you? Don't you lose your future in what God has for you of trying to fix something that you can't fix.
Yeah.
Or getting in, letting somebody convince you that it's okay to be walking around in grief and that, you know, God has a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big picture. That's what we need to focus on.
Finish out your purpose.
Your course.
Yeah. I've done more funerals than anybody should have to do with young people that committed suicide.
Yeah.
Even older people that committed suicide. And the number one question I get, are they in heaven or are they in hell? And I said, I don't make that choice, but I know who does. Mm-hmm. He that judges righteously. And we're just going to have a memorial service mm-hmm. and focus on that. And I'm going to focus on you guys.
Right.
You know.
Here.
And she'll tell you, how many of those did I do? You know, so suicide is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And we've got a question or two comment about it. So I'm just lumping all of those together, if you will. Is suicide the end result of, I guess it's hopelessness. Is it, yeah. For a person to commit suicide, is there a mental disorder? Because nobody in their right mind, that's one of the questions. Nobody in their right mind would kill themselves.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say necessarily has to be a mental disorder.
Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't either.
I mean, there's a lot of hurt and pain and hopelessness that come with that decision to commit suicide. But a lot of times there's also a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is not looked at as much, because suicide is really a very hostile act.
And sometimes it can be just a very impulsive act too, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be an attention, you know, getting act that went too far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
it says be angry and sin not. How do I deal with anger? What's a way clinically, counseling-wise, whatever, to deal with anger?
To me, it goes back to unforgiveness. I mean, you have to choose to forgive, because we carry a lot of stuff, a lot of anger towards a lot of people, situations, God, whatever. And if we don't choose, what I tell my patients, to release your desire for revenge, you will take out that revenge. And you're going to take it out on yourself the most, because it's all bottled up inside of you.
Yeah. Those emotions normally only affect you. Anger and hate, and that usually affects you.
Well, I saw this one here about many people are angry that God allowed abuse in their life.
Correct.
And that's part of going back to they've never gotten to the root of this thing.
Well, they've never resolved that with God. God gives free will, which means he has to allow people to do evil. Even your parents or someone who abused you as a child, God has to give them free will, or else we're all robots. Yeah. I mean, those are the two choices he had. So he gave free will, which meant he has to allow the bad things to happen. But we get mad at him for that, even though he didn't do it.
And the whole thing is that it still requires, I don't care what happened to anybody, and we all have stories. You know what I mean? At some point, some were worse than others, unfortunately. But it all comes back to, I need to forgive. I have to make a choice to forgive. Mm-hmm. Not for them, but for me, so I can go on.
Yes.
When people were wanting to label me, and I still reject it, PTSD. And one guy said, the fact that you reject it proves you have it. I'm like, shut up.
That's good advice. No.
I put two Greek words together, theophostic, meaning God's light. And I just did a prayer, and I said, God, shine your light on the hidden places in me.
Mm-hmm.
Let your light shine in places that I have something buried, that I don't know, that I don't remember. And I just let his light shine.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the light shines, the darkness...
That's right.
Dispels the darkness.
It is gone. Let me get to this one.
One other quick thing. Forgiveness is not a feeling. And I just want to make sure I get that out there. Forgiveness is a grown-up decision, which is why so few people make it. It's a choice to cancel the debt that somebody owes you. You don't owe me anything anymore. And if you look at it, it's described that way in the Bible, but if you look at it in economical, in terms of economy, it's, you know, there was a story of the servant who owed his master a ton of money, and the servant forgave, but then that servant had somebody else who owed him just a little bit of money, and he didn't forgive.
Mm.
It's an economical thing. It's like money. We have to forgive those debts that are owed to us. You don't owe me anything.
And it's like love. It's a decision.
Yeah,
you have to choose to love.
Mm. That's right.
All right, let me get this text here. Would you please talk a bit about, and we don't have very much time, so we'll get to as quick as we can here. Talk a bit about the relationship between depression, sleep-wake cycles. I've had trouble going to sleep until early in the a.m. after taking care of my mom 24/7, who was bedridden. She's in heaven now, but my sleeping has been messed up. since I was even 8 years old. I've had moderate atypical depression. Any suggestions for improvement would be greatly appreciated. I don't know what atypical depression is, but.
Well, it usually has to do with more irritability and agitation as opposed to the down mood and sadness. That's a difficult one because some of these symptoms can be treatment resistant. And of course, she needs to see a good psychiatrist or a good physician that's going to work with her on that, number one. I think the nutritional stuff. One thing we haven't mentioned is exercise, which is huge, especially in terms of sleep. Mm-hmm. Because, some people just need moderate exercise. Mm-hmm. I got a medical exam yesterday. I know I have to do hard physical workouts because that's what works for me. But exercise on top of all of this makes
outside,
a huge difference.
You know, getting outside in the air, getting outside to take deep breaths and walk before you go to bed. It still goes back, I think, to releasing it to the Lord.
Get a dog and walk your dog, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we've got people. We're winding this thing down. I did not get to all your questions. I apologize. We'll do this again because this is one of the most requested programs we have. We got people that want you to set them up on a diet plan. We got people that want to come counsel with you. And we got people that want you to be their doctor. If we've accomplished nothing, we did accomplish that this evening. And we will get to more of these. As we go along here, real quickly, any final comments, parting thoughts? We'll start with you, Dr.
I would say no condemnation. Just seek help. Just seek help and be real, especially with God, because He already knows.
Dr. Irby?
He's easy to be real with.
Church is your best resource.
Amen. It's true.
It is.
Good. Dr. Williams?
Choose to forgive. Release that desire to get back at those people and yourself and God. And just let God heal you totally.
Mm. And I can, Michelle, you got?
Something that came alive to me through this is that our spirit and our soul and our body are so intertwined that we cannot compartmentalize each one separately and deal with them. They do affect each other and they flow together. And so I know God's word has the answer for each and every one of those.
There you go.
And you have that available to you at any time. You definitely have it available to you if you're watching Victory Channel, because that's all you're going to hear is the word, not people's opinions. And I thank each one of you for your study and your diligence to educate yourself, to walk in the callings that you have. And I truly appreciate each and every one of you being here. I appreciate you for being with us as well. I know this, in that thing they wanted to diagnose me with, I'm a total different person today because I allowed God's word to work in my life and I cooperated with us. Final thoughts, God wants you to have healthy bodies, which includes your mind.
Amen.
He's provided doctors, so don't be ashamed to use them. Just remember, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You have a sound mind. You need to confess it over yourself.
That's right.
I have the mind of Christ. Yes. Begin to change the thoughts you have with His thoughts. The best way to do that is to get into the Word of God and get into church. If you don't have one, man, the ministry here, you can call the prayer line. They will recommend one to you. If you're locally, listen, EMIC, Eagle Mountain International Church, we want to invite you to be there. If you can't be there, you can watch it every Sunday morning beginning at 10 Eastern or 11 Eastern is the regular service, the main service with Faith Foundations, 9 Central, 10 Eastern. You won't want to miss it. It will strengthen you. All right. Know this. We'll see you Sunday, that God loves you.
Yes.
And we love you. And Jesus is Lord. See you next time. Thank you.